I was privileged, son. Oh, stand up. I was privileged to attend the conference for the True Woman in Indianapolis. And I say privileged because I didn't sign up to go. I didn't pay to go. But someone blessed me because they couldn't go. I think the thing that will stick in my mind the most is something that has probably nothing to do with the conference, and that is waking up on Friday morning to find the pastor's wife wrapped in a blanket, sleeping in the laundry room. And the next night she slept in a closet. So if you want to know the details of that, you're going to have to talk to her. But it was a great time of getting to know my sisters from this church a little better, the close community of being able to share, and share we did. Man, we spared you a lot. We mean, we talked. We all came home and probably didn't say a word, and you all said, thank you, Lord. But we laughed, we cried, we prayed together, we shared scripture together, we talked about family, we talked about self, we talked about the Lord more than anything, and more than probably we have in a long time. We worshiped together with 7,000 other women, with the Gettys, Keith and Kristen Getty, as worship leaders. It was amazing to see hundreds of women come to the front of that large group of women as a result of how the Lord convicted them during a session of something that was said, or something that was some truth about God and about themselves and about the lies that we believe or the bondage we may be in. But coming forth and laying that all on the altar, so to speak, it wasn't, you know, the kind of altar that we as Catholics grew up with, but it was coming to the altar, and it's really touching to see God working. You know, it had nothing to do with any of us. It was God working in hearts, and through the speakers, through the music, through the message, mostly through his word.
Thank you.
Oh. What? Morning. Well, I want to see everybody. I like talking to two people. Next year will be 20 years that I've been saved. And I reflect sometimes on what God brought me out of. And the change, the things I thought was important, the self-destructive behaviors that are gone. But one thing that's always been hard for me, because I grew up in a military family, that's naturally dysfunctional, you know, dad always being gone, and it was very hard for me to love people. Even after getting saved, it was very, very difficult to see in myself what I see in scripture about how we're supposed to love one another. And I read many, many times that we receive this spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And I was blessed early on to feel that, to sense him as Father and to accept correction and things like that from God. The part recently, though, that I want to give God praise for is when you have a father that has a large family, that means you have brothers and sisters. And that I have, you know, earthly brothers and sisters, and we've never been really close. We all grew up in that same dysfunction. We are getting better. But I received that spirit of adoption where I have spiritual brothers and sisters now. And I just want to give God praise because me and Nikki went tent camping my first time, and I am not praising God for that. but we were in Minnesota for a church conference. And it was amazing that within minutes, we met people there. And I finally started to feel that brother, sister, it was just like we had known each other forever. And praise God, they let us stay at their house, so I didn't have to stay in that tent another night. but it was such a blessing where we're just talking, and there's, like, you know how it is when you're with family, where you just open up, you just share, you just laugh, you just tease. It was like that with these people that we had just known for minutes, and we're over at their house, and they welcomed us. It was amazing, and just, I praise God that I'm starting to feel that and have that stone crushed and softened that, you know, was in my heart for so long. And I do think there's many here also where I've gotten to feel that. I see Kevin over there. He's somebody that blesses me that I just feel super comfortable with. Adam, Logan, high on the list. I don't see Rob, but there's a lot of people here. Daniel, Paul, I could just keep going. Dan. where I've just been really blessed, and I want to give God the credit and the praise for that. Thank you, Bertie. just really letting me feel that family that we are in Christ. So.
Thank you. Well, that works.
I'll follow in this lead. For those who don't know me, I'm very new here. And my name is Raz.
My name is Raz. Thanks. And the first time I came to this church, we're new in the area, and I made up my mind that I was just going to go and find out where God wanted me. And the very first time I showed up here, I felt this just huge spirit just calling out to me. And I got emotional, and I thought, well, what's that all about, you know? So then I went again, and I came back again, and the same thing happened again. And I told my wife, I said, there's something going on here. I think this is where the Lord wants me. And so actually, I've only been to two churches in the area. I went to one other one, and it was a Methodist church, which I was a Methodist for quite a long time. But this is where God wants me. So that's one miracle. But there's another one, and I love to brag about the Lord, and I think it's our responsibility to do that. My son just, you know, he decided that I should go antelope hunting, you know, and walk for miles and miles and miles, which I'm old, and I wasn't really looking forward to it, but I decided to go along. And so on the very first day out there in northwest South Dakota, we're going all over. We don't really know much about antelope hunting. And so we're out there walking in the grass and stuff, learning a lot of lessons the hard way. All of a sudden, we decided this is just not the place to be. Well, we stumbled onto some antelope, and on the way around, my son stopped in his tracks, and we just started praying. And he said, "Lord, you know, if this is something that you want for us to experience, we need your help to help make that happen." And so then we went around and we did everything that YouTube showed us how to do. We had all the stuff, you know. But there was one key thing that we needed, and that was when my son stood up to shoot the antelope, he sent the arrow right over the top of the antelope. So he decided that, I thought, okay, that's the end of that. But then the Lord just decided to intervene, brought the thing back, and my son was able to shoot this buck. So literally at 3 o'clock on the very first day, after praying to the Lord to bless us with success in hunting, he did that, and I give the Lord all the credit, because even though my son did practice a lot, anyway, that's my testimony. So praise the Lord.
I have to. Sue sent me a text message this morning. She says, I really wanted to be there this morning, but Carissa, on her way back yesterday, she didn't go to the conference when we were down there. And because she wasn't feeling well, she was like, oh, probably just a cold or whatever. Well, she went to the walk-in this morning. She thinks she might have strep. So you can be praying that all the rest of us that went don't get strep. We don't know what's going on, but you can be praying for Carissa as she just was not feeling well. And so Sue kindly was taking care of the kids this morning, since Jeremy was probably like, I love my children, but Grandma, come help. And so Sue sent me a letter this morning, and I'm going to do my best to read it, but we'll see how this goes. So if I squint and stop and pause, it's because she sent me a picture of a handwritten letter, and... No, it gets smaller. But then I can't see. Oh. No, I can't see the edges then. It causes issues. All right. Thank you for trying to help. Oh, and if you want to know, I'll just tell you all the story about the closet real quick, and then I'll read this. The Lord has given us all a great gift to make joyful noise. I just don't care for having joyful noise in the middle of the night. So so we'll just, and since I couldn't sleep and we had started our journey at 4:30 that morning because Nikki, Brittany, and I had driven down early to get there on Thursday, I was exhausted by Friday night and I was done. So 2:00 in the morning rolled around. Everyone else in the apartment is sleeping. And I'm like, I don't want to wake anybody up. So I stole the couch cushions and slept in the laundry room. And it was, I slept so hard, and God bless that, and it was great. But yes, as Ruth called me, I was the homeless woman that lived in her closet for Friday night. Because the closets were big and walk-in, beautiful. God blessed this with a very nice location. However, he needed to bless us with quieter people at the bar underneath. But it is what it made it for an exciting time. All right, so let's see if I can't do this now. As soon as my phone went off again. You gotta love technology. All right. So Sue wrote this morning. She says, I'm so disappointed that I cannot be there with all of you today. As a sacrifice of praise service is one of my favorite Sundays. I love to hear how God has been working in each and every one of our lives. I wanted to share today how God turned my disappointment into something great or something, yeah. When I heard about the women's retreat in Indianapolis, I signed up for it right away and knew I needed to have spiritual recharge. A few years ago, I had such a close relationship with God and saw him do so many things in my life. But after Minerva came into our lives, I was back to trying to find time to get into God's word and was with a toddler. There was a lot of noise, and actually it was, I wouldn't ask God any to have it any other, or I would ask God why. And when I'm doing so good spiritually, why would he change my life so drastically? But we love her so much and are truly blessed to have her in our life. She put blessing number one. Anyway, the day before we left for the retreat, I wasn't feeling just right, and so I went to the chiropractor, and the next morning it was still there. And Patty made a comment that she thought it was my sciatica. That was horrifying, as I've seen what she has been through in the last seven weeks. And I decided to go, and if I needed, Dean said he would come and get me if it got bad. I felt free while we were there, or on our way there, and had such a great time communicating with the ladies, and fun to have with the seven women together in a van and watch each of them enjoy each other. And seven women in one small van, that's an adventure of itself, in my opinion. All right, that's blessing number two. That night, Carissa and I shared a room, and the pain was getting worse, and I couldn't get comfortable. And at 1:30 a.m., Carissa gets up and puts pillows all around me. it was so sweet to see her love and encourage me. Blessing number three was having an awesome daughter. The next day, the pain was getting worse. It was getting bad, and it was getting hard to walk. I knew that I needed to go home, and I called Dean, and he said that he needed to finish a job, and then he would come. And he says, God has shown me that if we thank him in our trials, that he will bless us, and I am truly blessed. And it was true, even though I kind of have to tend to agree with her. Sleeping on the floor is not ideal after you pay for a place to sleep. But it was still such a blessing to be there with these other women. And I joked with Nikki and Brittany on the way back. I was like, I'm going to point at you guys, and you guys have to share this morning. No. But if they would like to, I would encourage them to. Ruth made the comment that it was just such a wonderful time of encouragement. And it was. 7,000 women puts me on overload. That's a lot of people. But God still used all of that, and I think the most powerful thing was to just close your eyes, and when you're standing in a room and hearing all of that worship towards him, it gave you goosebumps. Especially the one song that the family did. Yes. Oh, my goodness. I don't know how many of us all got goosebumps. And it was Nancy's new husband, Robert, and his family sang that morning in an a cappella song of Psalm 23. And, oh, it was so beautiful. So that is Sue's message to you all, too. And I just was told to share that. So.
I got 20 minutes yet, so. You want me to hold it for you? Let me just hold it for you.
I can.
You got it?
Yeah. I'm really blessed. Thank you.
For those of you who may not know me, I'm Bertie's driver. this is just my shameless way of putting an update for the ministry. And
okay.
So. And I'm told I have 20 minutes, so. This is awesome. This is great. No. I appreciated the comments earlier about the difference between praise and worship, because it really falls in line with what I would like to just share with you all. The praise part of what I'm talking about is, most of you know that we're in the middle of trying to do a building project in Ghana. And we're sitting with $88,000 in the bank down in Waukesha, and a promise of another $30,000 to be coming in the next month or so. That puts us at about $120,000. I can do the math. It's $118,000, but that's close to $120,000. And our target price is about $150,000 for an 8-bedroom home that is handicap accessible. Even in Ghana, those things add up price-wise. But if you think about how many of us could put up a house with 8 bedrooms, handicap accessible here in the States for $150,000. On top of that, I've got a guy who came along last month and said, you build the first house, I'll build the second one. All right, that's the praise. The worship, yielding to him, we still don't have that stupid piece of paper. That gives us clear title to the property. But where the yieldedness comes in, every time God has delayed us in this ministry, he has later showed up and said, that's why. And so we're just trying to step back and say, okay, Lord, in your time. But we are praying that God will give us that clear title document so we can start this process and take this other gentleman up on his offer. So, you know, our prayer request is for that piece of paper and the rest of the money that we need to put up the first house. And this guy literally said, I have $160,000 that I've earmarked to give to the ministry to build that second house. Because he just really has a heart for seeing two homes on that piece of property. I think before he dies, quite literally. I mean, he's a man who God blessed in his business, and now he is in turn blessing others, and he wants to see that happen. So just pray with us to that end. That would be wonderful. Quick update on Michael, the little boy who with a hydrocephalic condition and spina bifida, he is still hanging on. Nobody can tell us why. I don't know if God is keeping him around because he's got a bigger miracle that he wants to do or what, or if he just wants people to see the love of Christ flowing through people like William and Priscilla. But be praying for him. And then we have another little baby. Well, she's, how old is Gracie? About a year. And she has a heart condition. There was a family ready to adopt her, but Ghana has refused that adoption. And so now she's sitting there in the same country where we couldn't get the surgery done on Michael, and she's going to need surgery soon. This family was ready to provide all that. So be praying for Gracie, too, if you would. Thanks. Go ahead. William's visa did not happen for this fall, and so it looks like it'll be after the first of the year sometime is the soonest. Be in prayer. He has to go through the whole reapplication process, we're hoping maybe that that can happen so that he can travel back with us. We're going in January and February again, and that we would be able to bring him back. Maybe that's why the Lord is delaying that one, is because he's never traveled outside the country before. So it might be better for him if there's somebody along with him. So, but we're still hoping for that. My daughter works for an eye doctor who's donating the surgery he needs for his cataracts. He has one eye that is prosthetic and one eye now that has cataracts, and he drives. It's awesome. It's really, really awesome. We praise the Lord for Uber in Ghana because that's what we use a lot. So be in prayer for William, too. Thanks.
Thank you. Sorry. I saw the flash out of the corner of my eye.
Well, some ladies may not have known, but I have no trouble speaking to anybody, any place, any time. And that learned that this week, yeah, to some chagrin. But Indianapolis has a huge visible homeless population, or at least that's what it appeared to be. And I have a big old soft heart, apparently. And Diane, my partner in the, as far as roommates, there was no room in the inn. Unfortunately, they could only house eight, so the two of us had to go to the hotel where they charge you more but give you less, right? So we were downtown, but we enjoyed going to walk the street, down the street in Indianapolis, and climb 20 flights of stairs, which we lived through. I was really grateful for that in their beautiful monument. But we had the pleasure of having some conversation with some people who are in some pretty desperate situations, and to share Christ with them. And it reminds us very much that we need to be grateful for the fact that there's a roof over our head, even if we don't love the layout of our house, or even if it's never as clean as it should be, right? But, you know, there are people in some desperate spots, and it's real obvious. There are also many people with whom we didn't have conversations because they didn't have a cardboard sign saying, God bless you, and anything helps, and I'm hungry. That also need to hear the word. And there were some great conversations that happened this weekend as well. And I can think back to, I have questioned before, sometimes when people have certain health ailments, and because of some of the reading or learning I've done, I think, but the treatments that they're doing are doing more harm than some of the things that they don't know about that God has designed that would heal them. And that has been a challenging thought for me. But during some of the, I think it was Dana Gresh, but perhaps it was somebody else, I'm not even sure who said it, but something that resonates with me that we heard spoken. And really, Ruth kind of helped to unpack that too, Ruth Schiller. But anything that, let me back that up a bit too. There was one recorded testimony of a young lady who was describing some serious health conditions that she was facing, some serious pain. They called them suicide headaches, and some other mysterious ailments. And Ruth and I kind of nudged one another and kind of went, sounds like Lyme. And she went on to talk about the different treatments that she had, one of which involved going to a facility where every 15 minutes this young lady would get an injection of some sort. And she all she could do was just sit and wait. And because of the various sensitivities of people at this facility, they weren't allowed to have any electronics. They weren't allowed to have, you know, anything to distract them. They just had to sit and wait for their next injection. It sounded torturous. But someone in charge of this clinic took pity on her and allowed her to have a first-generation iPod. And that first-generation iPod she used to find the Revive Our Hearts podcasts. And so she spent that time listening and listening and listening to all the podcasts to give her mind a place to go and to deal with the pain that she was in while she awaited each injection. And at some point during her testimony, she said that she was, you know, years later diagnosed with Lyme. And that just really broke me because the next thing that Ruth said to me was, I'm just praising God for your daughter's healing with Lyme. And I know that Ruth's daughter's not at this present moment healed from her Lyme and suffers greatly because of it. But the message that I came away with is that anything that causes us to need him more, be that pain, be that homelessness, be that whatever trials they are, is a blessing. So I praise God for the blessings that we have in our pain.
Thank you.
I just think it's very important that we acknowledge and thank God for the fact that nobody was killed in those storms, that the storm we had a few weeks ago with the tornadoes, and that there was a lot of damage to property and trees and that sort of thing, but nobody lost life, and it was an opportunity for people to come out and help one another, and I think that was really a blessing too as well.
We welcomed a 13th grandchild into our family last Sunday night. Valerie had a little boy. So we're grateful for him. Beckett Calum, 8 pounds, 4 ounces, 20 and a half inches. Everyone's doing well, so we're very grateful for welcoming him. Thank you for praying for Valerie. She and her husband are out in Spokane, and we see them periodically. Bethany went out there to be a help for till Thursday, but things are going well for them, and we're grateful for this addition to our family.
I really want to tell you guys about how I'm blessed, about how God blesses me, but I don't like talking in front of you, so yeah. Okay, so it was just this this Jesus film on what's going on in Ethiopia, And my struggles with God is that sometimes is that he's not here, okay? That I can't touch him, that I can't hug him. And I just want him to be right here. And so but sometimes the closest thing that I get is when I get that kind of evidence that what he wrote is there. What he wrote about that the that he's bringing in the nations and you know, every tribe, every tongue. And then we get to see that, oh my gosh, you know, he's really doing it. And and that's like, it's just, it makes him more tangible. And so when he does this, when he shows me a glimpse of himself in that way, you know, I'm so emotional, obviously, but I'm also super blessed. That's it.
I'll take it. I think if each of us thinks more, perhaps, you know, we're not comfortable with sharing aloud, but we all have opportunities or reasons to give praise. And so I encourage you that as you converse today with one another, as you have the opportunity even in the next weeks, coming weeks, to share those praises just that you have with someone around you, okay? We are going to... Can we? Sure.
Yes, you do. I would just like to say that since Josh has been in Okinawa, yesterday was the second typhoon that he went through, and thankfully everybody was safe. I just know about him and his troops and stuff. I don't know about the rest of the people, but. It seems like typhoons are pretty common there, and it's kind of scary for me, but I'm just thankful that God kept them safe.
Yeah, very much so. Why don't we pray, and then we'll sing the last hymn, and during the hymn, can we take the offering? Can we do that? It's multitasking a little bit, but I think we can do that. Let's pray first, though. Father, we know that we have more than enough reason to praise you. You know, you've provided salvation for us. You've adopted us as sons and daughters as we've placed faith in Christ for that salvation. And yet there's more. The salvation itself is enough to give you praise for. And yet you've blessed us time and time again, beyond measure, I think, in many ways that we ourselves may not even be fully aware of. And so we give you thanks, for it is right to do so because of who you are as God and for the good deeds that you have done. We pray that we would never be shy about expressing those praises, those testimonies, as a form of encouragement to those to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, but also as, in some respects, a witness and a testimony to the world around us that you exist, that you are active within our lives, that you care for us. Thank you for that care. Time and time again, we've witnessed it. We take our offering this morning, and as we close, we are reminded that really all that we have is a gift from you, as a blessing from you, and that we are financially anyway stewards of what you have given us. We're stewards of the gifts, spiritual gifts, the talents that you have given us as well. And so we pray that we would use them all in your service to further your gospel, and that you might be further glorified through it. thank you. We pray this all in your name. Amen. We're going to sing our last hymn, number 62, O for a Thousand Tongues, and we will take the offering as well.
Just